growing Christian. Last week in John chapter 13, we looked at love and what it means to possess the love of Jesus and to show that love to those around us. This morning, we're going to be looking at the attribute of joy coming out of John chapter 15. Let's be honest, there are things in your life that you do, that maybe I do, that you know about, that I don't know about, whether it be good, bad, or indifferent, it doesn't matter. There are things that you enjoy doing or things that you do because A, you enjoy doing it, and B, it may bring you excitement or happiness being around those or certain people. But we know that God knows all that we do, whether it be good, bad, or indifferent, whether it be in public, whether it be in private. Regardless, we know that God knows what we are doing, when we are doing it, regardless of the time. But not only do we do that, we also desire to be happy. Each and every one of you, if I was to ask you this morning, do you want to be happy? Most of you are going to say yes. If I ask you if you wanted to be joyful, most of you are going to say yes as well. Do not deny it. There's no point in it. And that's okay that you desire to be happy. We also know that there are individuals in our world, in our life, that do not want you to be happy. They may say things, they may give innuendos or whatever it may be, but what we must understand, as long as you're happy, as long as God is being glorified, that is all that matters, as long as He is being high and lifted up. But oftentimes our joy of our life, we look for it in the wrong place. Maybe we look for it in a job, we look for it in a relationship, we look for it in a hobby or whatever it may be. We have done that before in our life. We're looking in the wrong places, and we understand that's exactly what happens for our joy at times. Sometimes we think we find it in that particular place, that job, that relationship, that hobby, or whatever it may be. But the reality of it is we must make sure that we are looking for the joy in the right place, which is ultimately being found in Jesus Christ and what God is doing. Joy is not a nicety in the Christian life. It is an absolute necessity. It's not something that is just nice to have. It's about something that's very much necessary, understanding what God is calling you to do. And if you are right in your walk with Jesus Christ, your joy will be continual. It will be conspicuous. It will be contagious and joy unspeakable and full of glory. This morning, I want to talk to you about that joy, but just a few moments before we look at our main points, I want to give you a couple of ideas of things that are very important when it comes to joy. First of all, joy can be used to win the lost to Jesus Christ. The joy can be used to win the lost to Jesus Christ. Our best advertisement, the greatest thing we can show to the lost and dying world around us, is joy in the Lord. You think about King David for a moment. We know that King David made mistakes, but he was a man after God's own heart. King David loved the Lord with all of his heart, but he lost his joy at one point. He knew that he had been saved by Almighty God, but his joy was no longer there. Notice what he prayed in Psalm 51, beginning in verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach the transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. One of the greatest things about joy is it can be used to win lost people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Notice, very important, though, as I mentioned in Psalm 51, David had not lost his salvation. He had lost his joy. And I believe there are individuals maybe sitting in here this morning who knows they know Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they have lost their joy because of different things in their life. Things have been given to you in a way that you were not expected. And I need you to understand something very important. If you are not a joyful Christian, you are not an effective soul winner. An effective soul winner is someone who understands what joy is all about, because you desire for those around you to experience that joy and know that joy and know that God is faithful and God can radically save you. Joy can be used to win the lost to Jesus Christ, but joy can also be used to bear life's burdens and live the Christian life. It allows you to be able to go through the difficult times, the difficult circumstances or situations. How are we to live the Christian life? The question may be is, how are you to live the Christian life? And the answer is strength, being able to possess the strength. And how do we receive this strength? The joy of the Lord is your strength. So as you go through life and understand the difficult burdens and things you are facing, the only way to make it through those things is to possess the joy that only God can give. The joy of the Lord will take the weariness out of the world. The joy of the Lord will remove the burdens from the heart. The joy of the Lord allows you to be an effective soul winner, and the joy of the Lord allows you to walk through life and carry the burdens and live the Christian life. Where we are in John chapter 15, we see that Jesus Christ is speaking, and it's something very important. We know that Jesus Christ is facing the dark at Gethsemane and the bloody Calvary. In this text this morning, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, will be the entire context of our message. Jesus is telling us how to have the fullness of joy. How can we possess this joy? And I want to give you those this morning. And remember, just to remind you, from last Sunday, we looked at love. We're walking through the fruits of the Spirit found in the book of Galatians. And love, joy, and peace are the first three. We're looking at love. Now we are looking at joy. The first thing I want you to think about in John 15:11 is the joy of Jesus is abounding joy. The joy of Jesus is abounding joy. Verse 11 of chapter 15. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be filled. Something very important in this verse of Scripture before we go any further is that we need to make sure we understand that we are not to have joy like His. It is His joy that might be in you. Notice in verse 11 that Jesus is saying, my joy might be in you, that your joy might be filled. So the first thing we need to understand is that Jesus desires for us to find our joy in Him. The fullness of joy, the abiding joy of the Lord, is first found in Jesus Christ. That's why we must understand that we are looking for joy in the right place, not in any other man-made thing, but in the Savior of the world. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9 says, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. When you study Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9 in the text, the word gladness is another word for joy. So we see in Hebrews 1:9 the abounding joy of Jesus Christ, which is the first aspect of the fullness of joy. In the book of Jude, it is translated as exceeding joy. In verse 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present your faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. The literal meaning in Jude 1:24 is the idea of joy that leaps and dances. It allows us to be excited for what Jesus Christ is doing. At times we think we're not supposed to leap and we're not supposed to dance in the church, but that is not the case, because the Bible shows us there in verse 24 of Jude that is exactly what it's all about when you read the idea of the mindset of the exceeding joy. This is the kind of joy that Jesus Christ possessed, even though he was facing Gethsemane and Calvary. It was not half-hearted. It was not maybe so. It was abounding and supernatural. And I don't know if you've ever looked at Jesus and who Jesus was, but if you do not see Jesus Christ as a joyful Jesus, I think you have a bad picture of the Savior of the world. That Jesus understood it was about being a joyful and a joyous. That Jesus knew it was about being a life and living a life that brought honor and glory to Jesus Christ. How do we know this? How do we know that Jesus had lived a life of abounding joy? Because little children loved him. You ever seen little children run up to maybe a senior adult or someone who's excited to see them? They're not sour or crusty, but they're excited and kids just flock to them. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And maybe that's some of you sitting here this morning. The disciples are saying, no, go along, kids. We got things to do. And Jesus is telling the disciples a very important lesson. Hey, come unto me. So we know that Jesus possessed the abounding joy because kids loved him. I want to give you a couple of references regarding the abounding joy this morning. First is John 17, verse 13. And now come out of thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. The only way you can rejoice always is to rejoice in the Lord. The only way you can rejoice when things aren't going right, when the world's falling apart, when life's falling apart, whatever it may be, the only way that you can rejoice always is to rejoice in the Lord. Another reference is Philippians chapter 4:4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. This particular verse of Scripture in the Greek, in the original text, is the shortest verse of the Bible. Now you may say, Bobby, in the Gospel of John it says that Jesus wept, and that is very much there, but that is the shortest translation of our English language of Jesus wept. But Philippians chapter 4:4, that simply says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, is the shortest verse of Scripture. But notice something very important about this verse of Scripture. It is the shortest verse with the longest time. It is the shortest verse with the longest time. It's telling you to rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord evermore. Don't ever stop rejoicing in what Jesus Christ is doing. And when we do that, and we understand what that means, we can know without a shadow of a doubt that we possess the joy of the Lord. But we must understand something very important when it comes to the fullness of joy as a growing Christian. There is a major difference in joy and happiness. There's a major difference in joy and happiness. Joy gives you a meaningful life. Happiness allows you to have a smile on your face. You ever had to walk into a meeting or maybe even church and put that smile on your face so no one knows what's going on? That maybe you just had an argument or maybe you just had a rough phone call, but you don't want anyone to know what's going on. So you allow yourself to look happy on the outside even though you are struggling on the inside. Happiness depends on what happens in your life, and joy depends on the Lord. Happiness can come and go with what you're facing in your life, with maybe a relationship, a job, a hobby. As I mentioned often, it can bring you happiness, but it's not going to give you the lifelong mindset of joy. Happiness comes and goes with those around us. Maybe we lose a loved one and therefore we are no longer happy. But with the joy of the Lord, we can know that we can be happy in knowing that Jesus Christ is walking with us through this thing called life. The only way to be always rejoiceful and rejoicing in the Lord is to focus on what God is calling you to do. Because in reality, happiness is nothing but a cosmetic. It's like maybe putting on makeup or maybe wearing a certain clothes, trying to make sure you look good and make sure you look up to a par, per se. And it's saying that you are looking good on the outside, but we know that we're struggling on the inside. And maybe you've been there, as I have been there at times, that we don't want anyone to know that we're struggling, that we don't want anyone to know that we're going through a hard time, that we don't want anyone to think that we are weak and can't handle it by ourselves. But we must know that the only way to experience real joy is to know that Jesus Christ is the author of that joy, that Jesus Christ is the one that can grant you that joy. To put it quite simple as a statement I read, it goes like this: happiness is like a thermometer resisting conditions, and joy is like a thermostat that controls conditions. Happiness goes up and down. Thermostat, you're in control of it. Now, you may like the thermostat hot. You may like the thermostat cold. You might like it there in the middle, but that's exactly the way that life treats you and me. Happiness is a thermometer allowing you to resist the things in life, allowing you to maybe move yourself from the things you're going through, and joy allows you to control those conditions in your life because you have submitted to the Lord and have allowed the Lord to lead you, to guide you, and direct you. Happiness will evaporate in the times of trouble. Your happiness will disappear in the times of trouble, but your joy will be intensified. When things become difficult, you know that joy is not there to help you remove the pain, but the joy is there to help you bear the pain. That when things are tough, and you have been there, many of you have, you've been through tough times in your life and tough situations in your life, and you thought to yourself, how in the world am I going to make it through it? I feel like I'm pushed against the wall. I feel like I'm backed into a corner and I'm by myself, and you realize the joy of the Lord. And that's the same thing that I want to encourage you this morning with the way that our world is in today and the trouble we are in. The only way we're going to make it and move through this time is to understand that our joy is found in the Lord. The second thing I want you to think about: the joy of Jesus is abounding joy, and the joy of Jesus is abiding joy. It's abounding joy and it is abiding joy. Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Verse 11, might remain in you. This is not a joy that's only there in the good times. This is a joy that's there in the good times and in the bad times. Joy in the tragedies and joy in the rewards. You may sit here this morning and say, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm facing. You don't know the road that I'm having to travel. I am in a bad marriage. My family is falling apart. I'm having job issues. I'm having to fight my mind with mental issues. You may continue to say, if you knew what I was going through, there is no way you would be able to say this. Guys, I want you to understand this morning that I'm not just giving you my words. I'm giving you the words of the Savior of the world who was facing Gethsemane and Calvary and knew that he could possess this joy and you can possess this joy as well. Do not forget that Jesus Christ faced some of the same things we face. He cried, he wept, he hurt, he begged, he pleaded, he asked for maybe help and guidance in his three inner circle of disciples to walk alongside him. And we know at times that they were asleep when he had gone to pray, that Jesus Christ faced the same things that we face, that Jesus Christ went through the same things that we went through. But this morning we must know a few things about abiding joy. First of all, it is steadfast in sorrow. Abiding joy is steadfast in sorrow. In the difficult times, in the tough times, it is steadfast in your time of sorrow. A reference this morning is John chapter 16, verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Abiding joy allows you to know that your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Not only is it steadfast in sorrow, it is triumphant in tribulation. It is triumphant in tribulation. Abiding joy is triumphant in tribulation. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorifying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulations. It is triumphant in tribulation and allows you to possess this exceeding joyful mind and heart transformation. You remember Paul and Silas when they were in jail and they began to sing in the midnight hour? They were in jail and they were singing praise to the Lord because they knew what it meant to have triumph in the midst of our tribulation. Next, about abiding joy, it is lasting in losses. Very important here. Very important we understand. Have you lost something? Has your world been turned upside down? Have you gone through something in your life that you felt like you would never be here before? Let me encourage you in knowing that the abiding joy in Jesus Christ is lasting in losses. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34, for you had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. The spoils of your goods, losing something that means a lot to you. Abiding joy is steadfast in sorrow. It is triumphant in tribulation. It is lasting in losses. And as you think about Hebrews 10:34, the mindset that we see here of abiding joy, if your goods were to go and you lose your joy, you are receiving your joy from the wrong place. If you lose the things that matter the most to you in your mind, and that allows you to lose your joy, then you are realizing that you are looking for your joy in the wrong places. You are looking at it from the wrong mindset. You are looking at it something being created by man rather than be created by the Lord. Not only is it steadfast in sorrow, triumphant in tribulation, lasting in losses, it is abundant in affliction. It is abundant in affliction, which leads us back to our verse that we began with this morning, verse 11 of chapter 15. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Might be full. This abiding joy allows us to know that it is abundant in affliction. Do you see what we're talking about this morning? Understanding the abounding joy and the abiding joy. You may say, yes, I understand it, but I do not know how to receive it. I don't know what to do here in this life. And as you look at verse 11 of chapter 15, you will see that Jesus says, these things have I spoken unto you. What has he spoken to us? We need to go back and look at the verses prior to verse 11 and see how we can understand what it means to possess the abounding joy and the abiding joy. In John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, Jesus is talking about the vine and the branch, and most every one of you have probably heard that message before, read the scripture, that Jesus Christ is the vine and we as the believers are the branches. And when the vine abides in the branch, we see and experience this joy. When we allow ourselves to abide in Jesus Christ, that we are the branches, he is the vine. When we allow ourselves to abide in him, to submit ourselves to him, we can experience this joy that Jesus is talking about. What does it mean to abide in Jesus? How do we possess this joy? I want to give you a few things in closing to allow you to understand what it means and answer the question of how do we abide in Jesus Christ. Look with me in chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. How do we abide in Jesus? First of all, in John 15:4-5, we have to surrender. We have to surrender our heart and our life to Jesus Christ. To abide in Jesus first is surrendering to Jesus Christ. I read it a moment ago. Look with me again in verses 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, that same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. We must surrender to Jesus Christ. The vine is Jesus. The branch is you and me. And the branch exists for only one reason, and that is the vine. It makes full surrender to the vine. For the branch to live, it has to surrender to the vine. For you and I to live and live a life that brings honor and glory to Jesus Christ, we must surrender our branch to the ultimate vine, being that of Jesus Christ. And a full surrender means holding nothing back. It means holding nothing back, whether it be physical, spiritual, emotional, you fill in the blank there. It's realizing that you have to lay it at the feet of Jesus and allow Jesus to be high and lifted up. And the question is of surrender, what are you holding back this morning? What are you holding back this morning? Are you holding anything back that is allowing you to fully surrender to Jesus Christ? Abiding in Jesus begins with surrender. Second, it moves to dependence. It moves to dependence. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that hath abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. The joy of Jesus that we're talking about this morning, the fullness of joy that's found in Jesus Christ, is given when we depend wholly on the Lord. When we depend on the Lord for all things, no matter what that may be. Verse 5 makes it clear that without him you can do nothing. You may sit here this morning and say, well, I can do some, or I can do a little, or I can do just enough to get by. I'm going to respond and give you the answer in believing upon the Word of God. And it's simply this: what can a branch do without a vine? What can a branch do without a vine? Well, common sense tells you a branch can't do anything without the vine. So as you move this aspect of depending upon the Lord in John chapter 15, it allows us to know that we cannot do anything without Jesus Christ. The branch makes a full surrender, which allows it to grasp full dependence of the vine. And when we truly surrender, we can truly understand depending on Jesus Christ. But we must know, when you think you are something, then God is not everything, and he cannot be everything until you become nothing. When you think you are something, then God is not everything, and God cannot be everything until you become nothing, which begins with surrender. You must surrender your life to Jesus and realize that you are nothing apart from the ultimate vine. Abiding in Jesus, surrender, dependence, and rest. Surrender, dependence, and rest. Verse 9 of John 15. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Notice this verse this morning. The Bible tells you to rest in his love. You may be tired. You may be weary. You may be in a difficult circumstance, whatever it may be. The Bible lets you know that he desires for you to rest in his love. Have you come to that realization that Jesus Christ loves you that much? Have you come to that point in your life where he desires to give you that rest? Have you come to that point in your life where Jesus Christ desires for you to be the object of his love? That he loves you that much, that he desires to grant you the love that only he can, so that you can experience the fullness of joy. Galatians chapter 5, 22, which is the basis, the foundations of the next few weeks. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Surrender, dependence, rest. And verse 10, we see obedience. Verse 10, we see obedience. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 10 says, if you keep my commandments. Very important we understand that Jesus is speaking here. But Jesus was able to speak of his joy because he had kept the commandments of the Father. He was able to say that I possess this joy because I have kept the commandments. And the thing for me and you to understand this morning is, for us to be able to possess this joy, we must be desiring to keep the commandments of Jesus Christ, which is ultimately obedience that I like to call faithful obedience. The old gospel song simply says to be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. That you have to trust of Jesus Christ when you fully surrender. And when you fully surrender, you're trusting Jesus Christ to grant you what you need because now you're in full dependence. And when you become in full dependence, you realize that you're an object of Jesus' love. And when you become an object of Jesus' love, you know that his commandments are very important and you desire to be obedient to keep the commandments of the Lord, which leads us to the last thing I want you to think about this morning. Abiding in Jesus leads to rejoicing. And we're right back to the verse of Scripture that we started with this morning. John chapter 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. We're back here in verse 11. In verses 1 through 10, Jesus had talked about being the vine and talked about being the branches. And once we understand that we are in him through surrender, through dependence, through rest, through obedience, and now rejoicing. At that moment, when we are in Jesus, we will experience the joy and the fullness of joy. In closing, a couple of questions I may ask you this morning, and most of you would probably answer this, is how many of you love Jesus? Most of you are going to say, I love Jesus. You're going to say, I love Jesus, and you're going to answer yes immediately. The second question comes is how many of us obey Jesus? Each and every one of us could do better there, including myself. Understanding, as I read a moment ago, verse 15 of John 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. But not only that, verse 21 of John 14, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Do you notice how the Scripture works this morning? Are you paying attention to what John 15 is saying? No matter what you are, no matter what you are facing, no matter how defeated you may feel, when our eyes are fixed on Jesus Christ, Jesus desires to be the provider of your joy. Do you want God to make himself manifest to you, to manifest himself unto you, to allow him to reveal himself to you in a mighty way? If you desire to know God in a more intimate way, John 14, 15 and 14, 21 says you have to simply keep his commandments. The love of Jesus allows us to experience the joy of Jesus, which is abounding joy and abiding joy. And for us to be growing Christians this morning, we must understand that love and joy are attributes that we must possess, but we first have to understand full surrender for salvation. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, possessing love and joy is not going to make much sense to you. But we must first understand that God in his agape love loved you enough to be able to say that you can possess this joy, that he loves you enough to be able to say, as he was being prepared to take our place on the cross, that if you love me, keep my commandments, and if you love me, that my joy might be in you. May we as Christians, in what we consider these dark days today, possess the joy of Jesus Christ and allow this joy to A, see others come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and also allow us to go through the tough things in life that we are facing day in and day out. God, we thank you for your word. We believe in its power. We thank you for the ability to gather together this morning. God, I pray that each person here know you as their Lord and Savior. God, that their heart was open to see your word. God, that we've experienced your love through salvation, God, and that we are willing to show the love to those around us. But God, not only that, we are willing to possess the joy that comes from you and you alone. God, even in, during the difficult times, God, we know that our joy is steadfast when it's found in you. God, may we as a church remain faithful. May we as individuals remain faithful. God, we all make mistakes. We all fall short. But God, may we allow our lives to look at you first and foremost in comparison to you and not to other people, God, that we realize that you are faithful, that you are true, and that you are forgiven. God, we thank you for this love, and we thank you for the joy that you grant us. God, may we be obedient to you through surrender, dependence, rest, which leads to rejoicing in who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.